How about the characters you played with, particularly? Any party pieces, for example, that you can remember?
Well, you already mentioned John Simonet and his magic.
Yeah.
Which was something. Mark and Preedy used to come up with a few party pieces, which we can't really go into. But singing-wise, there were people like, obviously, Digger and Mike Burton, Jim Jarrett.
Well, you heard Digger sing the pig song.
Pig song, we used to do that, yeah. Oh, that was so funny. There were other people like Roy Falk, who was quite an entertainer. He was kit man for the United, and he used to come up with all sorts of nonsense. There was a guy called Andy Auster, number 8. He could do some singing. He was a good guy. And there was another guy, I think he was singing or playing, entertaining, one of the cruise liners called Kieran Conway, played in the centre.
Oh, yeah.
He was really good on the guitar.
Had a brother too, didn't he?
Poody, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Poody
yeah,
Conway.
Yeah.
I heard he was a good singer.
He was incredible, yeah.
That.
Really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, we used to have some fun there.
I think John Simonet's on the after dinner speaker circuit these days, isn't
he? Yeah, I bump into Joyce him quite often. He was doing motivational stuff, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Using his magic.
Yeah.
But he was very, very clever.
Yeah.
And we got detained for a little while at Her Majesty's pleasure. During an evening after an incident down in Defizes, I think it was.
Oh yeah.
And people were starting to get a little bit restless, as you can imagine, having their liberty taken away from them. So Simo got up and did his magic to keep everybody happy, which seemed to work, police included.
Was that the whole team involved, was it?
No, the whole team weren't involved. The whole team got detained.
Oh.
I don't think anything came of the actual incident that sparked it, but... the bus got stopped and everybody got wiped out of it.
Okay.
Goodness.
It wasn't too serious, though.
He was a school teacher originally, wasn't he?
John, yeah, I think he was at... was he at King's or was that Andy Auster? Yeah, he was certainly a school teacher.
He was at
teacher.
King's, yeah, I think he was at
yeah.
King's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was good number 8 too, at a Scottish trial.
Yes, oh yeah. Yes, I remember him quite well in his playing days. Very good player.
Mm. Yeah, one of the modern era, wasn't he, really? Rather than the sort of Mike Pottery era, you know, he was athletic and mobile. Not that Potts wasn't, but... put him more in the modern era.
Yeah, one of the roving, if you like, the roving
yes,
number 8.
That's right, that's
yeah,
right.
Rather
yeah,
than the
yeah.
get stuck in number
get
8.
Get stuck and do it. Well, he's a donkey work, but...
He was a good man to have in the line-out as well.
Yeah, he was, very good, yeah.
Useful extra.
Absolutely.
Extra
yeah,
pair of hands
fair
in the line-out.
Height, wasn't he?
Mm.
I can't remember, he was 6'6", something like
yeah.
that. Which was tall in those days, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And certainly for a number 8.
Yeah, these giants we got now. We played up at London Scottish. Markham Preedy was his first game. He was proper, and I was second with Fiddler. This is talking about tall second rows. Well, Alistair McHarg was jumping middle for London Scottish, and a guy called Jeremy Campbell-Amerton was jumping front. That was Mike Campbell-Amerton's.
Mm.
He was a big lanky thing. Well, we were getting stuffed in the scrums by London Scottish, and we were getting stuffed in the lineouts. So at half time, Fiddler said, "You come and jump middle, and I'll jump front," he said, Fiddler. So I thought, right, there's McHarg. So I thought, right, I'm not going to get any ball off him, so I may as well let him have one. So first line out, I whacked him. And he just looked at me, "You stupid boy." So I left him alone after that, let him have the ball. But they were two big, lanky blokes.
He was an amazing player, though, wasn't he?
McHarg,
you never knew where he was going to turn up next.
He was totally unorthodox, wasn't he?
Yeah, all over the field.
Yeah, he must have been so fit.
Wonderful, yeah.
No, there was no weight on him, but he obviously pushed his weight. And,
yeah. But for such a big bloke,
he
was incredibly mobile.
He was. He was, again, totally out of his era, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some players you know would do well in the professional era. You can just see them playing there. And there are others.
You just can't imagine it.
Out of their time completely. Mm.
Yes. I don't think I'd have gotten very well with the professional era. Enjoyed the social side of things too much. Which is probably my downfall. That shift working. The other problem was being willing to play anywhere.
Mm.
You know, I remember one game we were playing at Nottingham. I was number 8, I think, in the back row, certainly. We only had 2 replacements in those days. Somebody got injured, so halfway through the first half, I had to move up to the second row. Just after half time, somebody else got injured, and I had to go to prop. So I played back row, second row, and prop in the same game.
Which, of course, you can't do in this day and age.
No, we've got a specialist props anyway, haven't you? But no, it wouldn't happen, would it? Because you've got so many replacements. And that's when they were in second row. Number 8 might go to second row, or Frank could go to second row. But no, it'd all be covered.
Yeah, though I do think they take it to extremes. I mean, uncontested scrums, when there is a man on the bench who may not be a specialist prop, but has played prop at a high level.
That's right. But
not nominated as a specialist prop, an uncontested scrums result. Yeah. I find that level of carefulness incredible, really.
You only need a serious injury, don't you? And then
I suppose.
These day and age are suing and all the rest of it.
Well, true.
It's all health, like everything else. Health and safety gone mad, isn't it? That sort of thing. But we don't have any of that in our day.